agree with the correct amount.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Broadcast live. You're listening to the Order 66 podcast, brought to you by Gamer Nation Studios, D20 Radio, and the generous donations of Jared Williams, Kevin Malone, Donald Weller, Sean Kumar, Darren Hampton, Andy Bethel, B. Witzel, and Balaam's Blasters.
What is up, Gamer Nation? GM Chris here, and you are tuning into a very special episode of the Order 66 podcast, the original podcast entirely devoted to Star Wars role-playing. Many of our listeners enjoy the varied podcasts of the D20 Radio Network, and they're likely familiar with the amazing show Eberron Renewed, one of my favorite live play shows, and not just because it takes place in my second favorite setting of all time. It features an amazing cast of players with a truly engaging and entertaining group dynamic. And this crew of motley gamers happens to live fairly close to me. So, working with DM Eric earlier this year, we concocted a mad scheme for me to drive to the wilds of distant Oklahoma and run an FFG Star Wars game for them. But not just any game. My three-part forgotten adventure. One solid day of gaming, 12 hours straight, running them through the entire Amnesiac saga. And because they are as crazy as I am, they agreed. What you are about to hear is part one of this live play extravaganza, taking us about two-thirds of the way through Act One of Forgotten. Additionally, I modified the Forgotten adventure to specifically suit four players instead of six. For those of you familiar with this adventure, this involved restructuring some threats, some backstories, and altering the pre-gen characters a bit. And if you're listening, you can find this four-player adjustment of Forgotten right now in the Backer Zone section of d20radio.com. So I'll quit talking and I'll let you listen. But before I do, know that only one of these players had any major experience with the FFG narrative dice system, and one of them had never heard of it or touched it at all. As such, prior to the start of recording, I had a brief teaching session for the group, but as you'll hear, a lot of the rules minutiae was left for in-game explanation as needed. Also, my apologies, but I personally sound like I'm speaking into a tin can for the first 5 minutes until I realized I wasn't facing my mic. But that corrects itself pretty quickly. So without further ado, enjoy.
All right, guys. Welcome to the game. I'm not going to be too formal with this, but this is GM Chris here, and obviously going to be running, the Eberron Renewed crew, my favorite live play podcast, through my favorite system, Star Wars by Fantasy Flight Games. And we have some noobs to the system. We have one guy who's never played before, and we have another who's only really rolled dice a couple times for it. And then we have a couple pros who kind of know what they're doing. So that matters. But guys, so for Order 66 podcast listeners who might not be too familiar with who you guys are, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I am Eric. I am normally the Dungeon Master of Eberron Renewed, but I'm very excited to play today. And I'm going to be playing the character of Besh. Besh is very attractive for a human and carries himself with a confident swagger. His demeanor, punctuated by a roguish smile, is instantly likable, and despite having no knowledge of his life, he seems to instinctually try to communicate whenever possible. Talking freely and openly with an educated and intelligent vocabulary, Besh will unconsciously crack jokes, shout words of needed encouragement to allies, or lambast foes, even in a pitched firefight. Well hidden under his shirt, he wears a Sorla charm, which he knows to be a Twi'lek lover's locket, half of a matched pair worn by two partners in committed love with each other on Ryloth. Just touching it seems to steal his confidence, but he has an unexplained desire to keep it hidden. He also carries a slightly chipped crystal shot glass etched with the logo for Grobola's Casino.
Grobola's Casino.
Grobola's Casino, with no idea why.
I'm Philip on Eberron Renewed. I play Baron Barrack Rowan, and today I will be playing Dorne, Dorne is a Mirilin who sports a shock of colored hair to match her individualist look. Her clothing is highly protective yet comfortable and functional, and is adorned with small personalized charms and patches. She moves with mild bow-legged walk, common to spacers and others who've spent years in low-grav environments, and her movements are precise and very fast. Despite having no memory of her life, she immediately feels more comfortable behind the controls of a ship, and when entering a cockpit for the first time, instinctively reaches for ignition switches and safety controls in a practiced method of routine startup that only comes to a very experienced pilot. Her most extravagant possession is a pair of expensive pilot's gloves, clearly custom-fitted and made of rich Naboo leather. Hastily scrawled inside the wrist of the right glove is some kind of code or password.
I'm Randy. I'm Booyah. And Booyah's going to play some Star Wars. Only he's going to be Kresh. And Kresh, it says, is wearing well-fitted body armor. She's an attractive Twi'lek female, but seems to unconsciously guard herself, putting forth a very gruff and military demeanor. Her weapons are perfectly fitted to her grip, and she automatically reaches for modification switches and controls when she holds them. Despite having no knowledge of her life, she instinctively responds quickly and violently to danger. Kresh finds herself consistently drawing her weapons first and analyzing choke points and exit strategies when entering a room. She's already sized up the best way to kill each member of the team and is quite disconcerted by that. Beneath her armor, she wears half a Sorla charm, the Twi'lek lover's locket, and instantly regards it as her most precious possession.
All right, I'm Jeff. I play Dex on Eberron Renewed, and I'm the one that's never done this before, ever. And I am playing Auric. Auric is an average-sized human with strong features and extremely fit, wiry physique. He has several scars, but he moves in a manner that speaks to constant control over his situation. He doesn't appear to be a person who can be easily phased or stressed out, speaks with a tone of calm reassurance. Should have read that before I put together my voice. Despite having no knowledge of his life, he seems to gravitate towards positions of authority, instinctively giving commands and orders during combat, and gripping his weaponry with instinctual ease. Around his, or in his pocket, he has a worn hollow image projector. It displays the face of a young human girl, maybe 6 or 7 years old. He has no idea who it is, but his chest tightens when he views the image, and a deep feeling of remorse comes over him, even though he can't explain why. Also, he carries a large rucksack slung over his shoulder, which contains nothing but an empty box of detonator fuses.
All right. We've already gone through the basics of the game. The guys have just gotten to learn their character sheets now. All right, here's the deal. I have GM'd one of you before, okay? And the others, you guys are new to me. You guys don't know me, right? Here's my deal as a GM. I will work my hardest to make sure this story is fun. I know these rules pretty well, but even then there's times there's one or two one-off rules I might need to look up. That's never going to happen. I didn't even bring my books with me, right? If there's ever a question about the rules, or even if I know what the rule is, I might make a totally different call and throw the rules over my shoulder, strictly in the interest of fun and in the interest of the story, okay? All I ask of you is if I make a call, just go with it. I promise I'm not here to screw you over. I'm here to make sure that you guys are going to have a fun time.
That'd be a nice change.
Hey.
Oh, zing.
Not the good time. The screw over part.
So, agreed?
Sure.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. I ask for your trust.
So say we all.
So say we all. And with that...
Star Wars! Forgotten.
Just like the movie that I remember from the movie.
The galaxy is in chaos. 10 years after the end of the Great Republic, the Empire, that's in all caps, has risen to control much of the galaxy. Outside of Imperial control, far-flung systems on the edge of the galaxy and criminal organizations with great means continue their secretive wars for power and wealth. Soldiers in these shadow conflicts come from surprising places and struggle with hidden goals against unknown threats, but often the greatest threat to these powers comes from within.
Slow pan down to planet, and...
So actually, blurry vision receding.
Your head throbs painfully, and your blurry vision seems to clear itself into stronger focus. You're in some kind of vault. The metal walls rise 3 meters up, covered from floor to ceiling in what looks like safe deposit boxes of many sizes. Many of them appear to have been forced open, and the floor is strewn with their contents. Data pads, cred chips, art objects, and other valuables, all in complete and utter disarray. The vault's door hangs open, its control panel disassembled with wires and slicing gear jacked into it, and you spy a thin, greenish gas dissipating in slow tendrils out of the open door. Bewildered, you stare at a motley crew of individuals in the vault with you, each eyeing you with the same confusion you feel. Because, try as you might, you have no idea where you are. You have no idea who you are, or who these people are, or what you're all doing here. Is this a bank robbery? What's going on? Each of your companions wears a hands-free comlink of the same model, one that, as you reach up, you realize you are also wearing. Each comlink looks to be emblazoned with a different letter of the Aurabesh alphabet, professionally stenciled onto the casing. Arik, Besh, Kresh, and Dorn. Emperor's Black Bones, what is going on? You can't remember anything. And why are some of these people pointing blasters at each other? So, you guys obviously have amnesia, all right? Now, I rolled at the start of this particular module. As we progress through this adventure, as an out-of-character side note here, you guys are going to have the opportunity for memory flashes. Now, one of you will gain a memory flash automatically. I've already rolled for who that is. You will get a snippet of your prior life, a very brief snippet. The other three of you will have an opportunity for a memory flash, and I will tell you when that opportunity comes, but it's going to cost you. If you want to learn more about your past, it's going to cost you 2 strain, and at this point in time, a simple discipline check that you have to succeed on.
Okay.
Right? So, to set the stage here, all right, you guys are in a vault. Now, although we're theater of the mind in here, and we're going to have to describe it as well as we can, I love to use maps and minis. We don't even use squares in this system or anything like that. We use abstract ranges, but it really helps me set the scene. So the four of you are in a vault, all right? You're in a bank vault. The vault itself is honestly about medium range from the north wall to the south wall and short range from the west wall to the east wall, all right? A vault door hangs open. There's another door that's closed right here and what looks like a hallway extending off in this direction, but you really can't see. You guys are in the vault. Now, Arik, you are standing near the door to the vault. Your pistol is drawn, but it's pointed down at the floor. The safety is off. Now, your other hand is holding a data pad that has a cable leading from it to the door controls. Dorn, you have your pistol drawn, safety on, pointed at Besh, who is on his back on the floor. Your other hand clutches what appears to be a very valuable necklace made of precious stones. Besh, you don't have any weapons drawn. You're lying flat on your back on the floor of the vault. Your hands are raised above your head and you have a purplish bruise growing on your chin.
Ow.
Kresh, you stand near Besh, both pistols drawn, safety off, pointed at Dorn. And go.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey.
What?
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Well, can you lower the gun, please?
I'm not sure. It seems I'm about to shoot you, but I'm not sure why.
Can we just, you know, everybody put the guns down, okay? Just let's figure it.
Yeah, it sounds like we've all got the same problem. Let's holster up and let's talk about this.
Besh jumps, not realizing that there was another person standing behind him in the room.
Calm down.
Dorn pockets the necklace.
You pocket the necklace. And hey guys, there's cred chips everywhere. There's jewelry everywhere. It's the same.
But you said there was green gas flowing into the room.
It's dissipating, but flowing in now. Very faint tendrils of green glass are dissipating out the door.
Out the door. Okay.
If you want to inspect them closer, you can before they're gone.
Yeah, I'd like to do the old safe science waft thing.
Well, you get within a few inches of it, and immediately the bridge of your nose starts to hurt. You almost black out, and you get the same feeling you got when you woke up from your catatonic state.
Okay.
Seeing the bruise on Besh's face, Doran instinctively checks her gloves to make sure there's not anyone's blood on them, because it would be bad for the leather.
Yeah, they're blood free at the moment. Although at the very least, Besh on the floor doesn't have any cuts or scrapes on him, just a nasty bruise.
All right, Auric wants to take a look at this thing in his other hand. He knows what the gun is, but this control module.
It's your data pad, so you like your pad, your PC.
Okay? Oh, okay.
It's your laptop. You've got it jacked into the door controls.
Okay, so that's my personal.
Yeah.
That's equipment.
It's your personal data.
But I'm okay.
Yeah, like literally, you can see, you can, well, you assume it's yours. You don't know.
Fair enough.
You're holding it.
It's not part of the building. That's my, misunderstood earlier.
It's the equivalent of a Star Wars laptop or tablet. Okay. It's a Star Wars tablet, and somebody has disassembled the door controls. Mm. All right. Actually, outside the vault door, and there are cables running from that to the underside of this tablet that you're holding.
Is there an alarm going on?
No.
Is anyone out there?
I take a look.
Well, you pop your head out and you can see this hallway is just outside the door, and it extends. It's not directly straight. The map for reference here is a little misleading. There's a slight curve to it, almost like it's circular. Okay. Mm-hmm. But very slight. And it extends so far in both directions that you can't see an end. Yep. Okay. Until it starts to curve and kind of come back around in on itself.
Right.
You see several other branching corridors as you go off. The closest to you is, again, about medium range to here and here. And then there's another one here at short range, from the doorway at least. And then another door kind of directly across from you. Okay. And it looks subtly different from this door right here. This door looks like a vault door, like a classical bank vault door. Mm. It's 200 centimeters thick. It's got, you know, huge locking circular mechanisms, the circular.
Yeah.
This looks almost more like a
kitchen doors.
Well, no, it looks heavy duty, but it almost looks like a prisoner.
Gotcha.
Prisoner holding.
Okay.
Is there any signage or symbolism on the walls that we can see that is in any way familiar?
Not now. Okay. No, there's nothing here.
All right. So I lean back in the door and I say, I mean, as far as I can see, there's nothing, but there's a lot of places to hide, a lot of doorways along the hallway that who knows who could be in there.
You guys want to check your gear?
Yeah.
Kresh is going to put the safety on one of her blasters and holster it, but while not aiming her weapon at Dorn, she still has her weapon out.
Okay.
And safety is still off. And she's just keeping an eye on things. She obviously knows she doesn't trust at least Dorn for whatever reason. So she's keeping a close eye on him.
Her.
On her.
Yeah, Besh stands up, kind of brushing himself off and gingerly touching his chin, and begins. He's feeling his gear as he's trying to, unassumingly as possible, grab a few credit chips and things and stuff them into his pockets as he's standing up.
Auric wants to look on the ground for a stray weapon. Besh is unarmed. And
well, he had a holstered blaster.
Oh, I didn't have any weapons out.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I apologize.
He has a holstered blaster pistol at his
side. Okay, I thought he had none on him. He's the one with the guns on him pointed to the ground. I want to make sure he stays unarmed.
Yeah, there's no stray weapons. I mean,
okay.
The things of note, obviously, you find the chip shot glass you mentioned earlier. Okay. You see your pilot's gloves. Mm-hmm. You immediately notice the unusual thing there. You both notice your... You can look and notice your lockets. Okay. And you both... Despite having, it's your typical television amnesia. Okay, you have no memory of who you are or why you're here, but you know how the world works. Mm-hmm. You know what that is. Okay, and you know what it means. It's the equivalent of a wedding band. Okay, in Twilight Society, that's what it is.
Okay,
so you have a committed life debt to somebody who shares a matching locket. Right, you also know what that means.
Yeah.
Okay. From your perspective, you've obviously got this hollow, all right, image, mm-hmm. And then of course. The rucksack that is empty, except for an empty box of detonator fuses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys also have data pads. You guys have your individual pads. Now, you've got the one in your hand. If you start looking through it and you guys start looking, what you will find is that your data pads are identical. They're each loaded with some kind of what appears to be mission briefing. It outlines schematics, timetables, travel routes through this apparently facility. And if you guys want to know more and try and look through it, I could take a check or two.
So this, but it has a, this has a schematic of where we appear to be, or okay,
it does.
And once she looks at her data pad and comes to the realization that, okay, I must be with these people, so she'll holster her blaster.
Okay.
I want to check the data. Well, this might require talking on its own. If I get out of the... Oh, you said I've already looked through it.
Well, you're looking through it now.
If right. You just want to, so it's not like I needed to keep it on the screen to keep the door open or anything. That was
no, the door's open.
Okay. I want to see if I can suss out what our next step was supposed to be after we got into this vault.
Okay.
Because I've got an empty rucksack and there's a valuable stuff all over the floor.
Absolutely. So to know that, I don't even need to check for that. If you just want to take a few minutes to kind of look through it. Mm-hmm. According to this briefing...
And I keep poking my head out as we're doing this. P.S.
Oh, yeah. According to this briefing, the team, who are referred to in the briefing by the Arabesh characters, Arak, Besh, Kresh, Dorn, at least from what you're reading right, you guys were smuggled into this facility aboard a freighter carrying technical parts, and you then managed to move secretly about the station. Several routes of travel through the facility have been highlighted in a time-stamped sequence, all right? Taking you from the drop point, which is in one of the station's apparently numerous cargo bays, to what appears to be the facility's main power reactor. That was your first stop. After going to the main power reactor, the briefing outlines routes to a secured vault, where, at least according to the schematics, is where you seem to be. It appears to be one of many, followed by a route to an exit point out of the facility that looks to be a hangar bay. In fact, looking at the schematic, a turbo lift around the corner right here would take you up to the level you need to be at for at least the marked exit points on your schematic.
Is there any indication of why we were coming to this vault?
The mission briefing also records a specific security box number within the vault.
I look for it.
I don't even need you to make a check. You will find it on the floor. It has already been opened and there is nothing inside of it.
I toss the rucksack on the floor and I say, probably here. Load up. Let's get to this exit.
There's no indication of what was supposed to be in the box. Awesome.
Yeah, there's no step-by-step instructions with clear illustrations.
What planet are we on?
you're inside a vault. You have no idea.
I didn't know if the briefing...
I'll tell you what. I will let you give me a knowledge education check.
Sure, why not?
Average, that's 2 purple difficulty,
okay,
to determine something of what you're looking for from the briefing you've got.
I think I end up with one. I think I end up with a net failure.
So you really can't tell.
Yeah.
I want to check the timestamp on the exit, the when we were supposed to leave this vault to what it is right now, to see how long we were out, perhaps.
Yeah, that's a good question. At least according to the briefing, you've got about 5 minutes that you're supposed to have to make it up there.
Any indication of how the room got this way? I mean, I get the impression that it wouldn't seem like the way we would have done this. Like, whatever instinct we have for what we were supposed to do here doesn't seem like what we were supposed to do was trash this place.
Well,
does it look like it exploded? I mean,
No. It looks like all the lockboxes look like they were forced open. I mean, every single one of them manually forced open, and the contents kind of dumped out.
Interesting.
Okay.
Right.
You said that Besh had something in his hand?
Actually, it was... Dorn had a very expensive diamond.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that stones. That necklace that you pocketed, maybe that's what we're here for.
Could be.
Okay. We got a rucksack. Let's put everything in there.
We could drop a rucksack. I can't drop my pocket.
That's not according to every sixth grader at church camp. As you walk past their cabin, they say, hey, you dropped your pocket. Hey, your sock's untied.
What?
I have no experience.
You've never heard those? Oh, little shitty middle schoolers, man, at church camp.
Yes.
Okay.
So are you guys going to low. I mean, there are like there is jewelry that looks probably a lot more expensive than what you pocketed on the floor. There are cred chips and I mean like galore. There's probably thousands in cash.
Do we remember anything about our character as far as to what they, if that's something they would do, is they would pocket stuff? We have no idea.
Can I look through the data pad information to get a sense of how long, if we left right now, it would take us to get to the hangar, to exit point?
For about 10 minutes.
Oh, cool.
Oh, so we should go.
I kick the rucksack into the center of the room and I say, we got a second load up.
Right. She doesn't know why, but Doran grabs like a small little like pendant, something she could later on figure out that she could add to the various charms on her jacket.
Okay.
And sticks it in her pocket.
So is anyone loading up the rucksack?
Yeah, I have been.
As soon as I said load up, I'm leaning down, so I just
scoop stuff in.
All right, so who's carrying?
It was on my shoulder in the first place. I figured I'd pick it back up.
Okay. All right, suddenly.
And now I've got my blaster back out.
That's the word you want to hear. Suddenly
a piercing sound echoes through the vault and the surrounding corridors.
It's probably just a fire alarm, guys. Let's keep moving.
The repeating wail of an alarm is accompanied by flashing red lights set into the walls, and an artificial voice with an eerily cheerful disposition begins broadcasting over the facility's comm. Warning. Warning. Intruders detected on secure level 4. Warning. Warning. If you are an intruder, please drop any weapons you are most likely carrying and lie face down on the floor. A team of escort specialists will be with you momentarily. Thank you for your cooperation. Warning! Warning! The message repeats itself, and through the din, you can hear the telltale clatter of mechanical feet thumping towards your location.
The problem here, guys, is none of us remember. I can't say for certain we are intruders. Well, we're supposed to be here.
Well, let's leave, because whatever it is, we look like intruders.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Time to go.
It's time to beat feet.
All right, guys.
So, Dorn is going to bolt in the direction of the turbo lift.
Well, at this point,
sure.
I need initiative from everybody. So, considering your guys' unawareness of the situation, I will need a vigilance check from everyone.
Super.
There is no difficulty on this. You're just going to get the dice you need for your vigilance pool, and you're going to roll them. And I'm going to go around the table and ask you how many successes you got and how many advantages you got.
Of course, you would have awesome initiative in this game also, Jeff.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm
all right, a real
go-getter.
Eric, what do you got?
One success, two advantage.
One and two.
Two success, one advantage.
Two and one. Randy?
I believe two success.
Two success, zero advantage.
One success, two advantage.
One success, two advantage. All right, and these guys are sitting on a... they're sitting on a one and three. One success with three advantage. So, now's where I explain to you how initiative works. So initiative is very different from Dungeons & Dragons in this system. Initiative, you rolled high, you get to go first. Doesn't work that way. The way this gets translated is I notice I've got two colors here, one for the NPCs and one for the PCs. So what I've got here is I've got a 2-1 goes first, all right? That's a PC. Beneath that, I've got a 2-0 that goes next. Then I've got an NPC that goes next. And if there's multiple NPCs, okay? And then I've got a PC and a PC. Round by round, you guys get to decide who picks up what slots. Okay? So it is very narrative, so somebody with an incredibly high initiative doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go first, right? So you guys have the flexibility to be advantageous here.
Is it something that we just feel, or is there a check I can make to know which of us would go out the door first?
For the sake of this narrative and situation, I'm not going to let you know that.
Okay, that's fine.
Is just the general nature of this vault, does it seem like some sort of guild, imperial? Like, can I get a feel for...
This is more secure than any bank vault you've ever seen. This is intense.
Imperial.
All right. This is really, really intense. But you guys hear mechanical feet tromping down the corridor. Now, I have two PCs who get to go first in this encounter. Now, from what you guys told me, you had one weapon.
I have one weapon out.
Okay. So you got your other one holstered. You have a weapon. Still have your weapon out, I'm assuming?
No, I probably holstered it to scoop things into the bag.
You had it holstered.
I drew, as soon as I put the on my shoulder, I drew again.
What did you pull out?
The blaster.
You pulled out your blaster pistol.
Yeah.
Not your flamethrower.
Right. Okay.
I'm still holstered up.
You're still holstered up. Okay, so who wants to go first?
I'm just knowing Crash. I mean, even though she has no memories, she seems like she's willing and ready to get into action. So okay. She's probably going to go out and start blasting.
All right. So if you take a maneuver, all right, to move yourself just outside the vault door, you quick glance quick right and left. You can see at medium range from you in both directions down the hall running down are a trio on each side of old Bactoid automata combat droids. So from, you know, Roger, Roger. But they appear to be painted in sort of a maroon color scheme with black highlights. And they are holding carbines, blaster carbines.
And so she would yell out, six, three on each side, carbines.
All right. And that's one maneuver. You still have an action left or another maneuver? What do you want to do?
I'm just going to shoot.
Go
at, let's see.
Which group? To the north or the south?
Let's go south.
All right, so you're going to shoot at this group to the south, all right?
Yeah.
So assemble your dice pool. Your difficulty on this is going to be two purple dice.
So that looks
That's
like...
That's weird.
Is that five advantages and one success? Then that cancels out?
Yeah, so you... These two dice are just straight up going to cancel each other
okay,
out.
Okay, those cancel.
And those two are going to straight up cancel each other out.
Two advantage.
So you failed with two advantage. So your shot goes wild and it misses, but you have two advantage. What do you want to do with it?
Okay. Can we have those three guys get those three bads down there kind of trip over their feet, jumble up, and they just fall over each other?
I wouldn't say they fall prone for two advantage, but what I would say is, how about this? I like your narrative. The shot goes wide, but they're Roger, Roger, B1s. Yeah, and so they kind of go, oh, blaster fire! All right, and they start dancing around each other, and they're discombobulated. I'm going to say that you can use that to give them a setback die on their next action.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, since I'm already drawn, did you say what they were or just that they were bad guys? Did you identify
I said
droid?
Six bads, no, three on a side with carbines.
Okay,
you can tell they're droids, though. It's the clanking is obvious.
Okay, what I want to do, I'm going to maneuver to the other side with that slight cover that little stem wall gives us. When I take a look, I want to know if, because we have TV amnesia, when I see these droids... What do I now? It would be an action to know if I knew what a weak point was, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Okay. No, I want to fire. Screw these nerds.
So who are you going to fire at? So you've maneuvered to the edge of the vault. So
I'm going to fire because I'm against this wall. So I figure I'm going to fire direction against the bumbling idiots.
Okay. So you want to fire against the bumbling idiots?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
All right. So you take a shot at them as well.
All right.
Gather your dice pool, and your difficulty is again going to be two purple dice.
All right. And. This is correct.
Yeah. You got it?
That's better.
Okay. So I succeed.
You succeed. How many net successes?
Two.
And how many advantage?
Two.
Fantastic. So first of all, you're going to do damage. So what's the base damage on your weapon?
Six.
Plus two for your two successes. Uh-huh. So you're going to deal eight wounds to these guys. Ooh. And that is going to drop. And let's see, you deal eight total. That's going to drop one of them.
All right.
So it's down. And you have two advantage. What do you want to do with that?
Hang on. I need to look again. What I can do with advantage.
What do you want to do? Don't look at it so much. Think about something narratively. Exciting thing? Do you want to aid your allies? Do you want to hinder your foes? Do you want to make something environmental happen?
Steam pipes. Every facility has steam pipes
that ruptures for some reason and mess with their visibility, giving them another. But it also would mess with ours. We're not magical.
But we're trying to escape.
That's true. You know what I'd really like to see happen is... is it possible, since they are metal, there's a ricochet and we at least take out the speaker that's blasting near us to give us a little less...
I'd let you take out a speaker, but it's not going to shut off the alarm system.
Right, but it's going to be quieter here.
Yeah.
Which is going to allow us to have a little more concentration potentially.
I'll let you know, but just from your own innate knowledge, mm-hmm. these guys aren't responding to a speaker. They're probably responding to an internal comm link, someone who's telling them to come down here and check this out.
He's saying it won't be distracting to us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay.
Then I would say, yeah, absolutely.
Perhaps we could hear each other better.
Absolutely. And narratively, so yeah, you have a ricochet. All right. One of the speakers shoots out. It's a lot easier. I'm going to say that you can choose to pass a blue, due to the increased concentration you've provided, mm-hmm. you can pass a blue boost die to anyone, one of the other PCs that you'd like on their next turn.
I mean, somebody who hasn't acted yet, so...
Yeah, Eric. Okay.
Well, you've got a boost
die. Oh, yeah, you've got him right there. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You've got a boost die. So I'll set a boost die up, and that'll be yours for your next shot. All right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now they're up. They are going to move. These guys here are going to tromp closer. They're going to tromp up here to short range. These guys are going to tromp up here to short range, and they're going to take shots at the pair of you. Now, I'm going to say that you both have cover because you're outside the vault, right? So these two guys have a setback die that was provided by Randy. They also have another setback die from the cover to shoot at Randy, Randy's character. And additionally, their pool has been reduced because one of them is dead. So that is their difficulty. Don't forget, guys, you if you don't like difficulty, you have destiny points you can spend to make it harder for me. Okay. So we roll. And good luck. I got a cancellation there and one threat. So they failed with one threat. The threat, I'm going to say the blaster shot hits the secured metal of the vault door, okay, which is designed to repel this kind of fire, and goes shooting off in this direction, forcing these guys to duck. They're going to get a setback die on the attack they're about to make. Okay, so that's going to be a setback die for them. Another setback die for the cover that Auric has. And they have a slightly different pool. That's what we're looking at now.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Okay, well, we have three threat and three advantage. Those are going to cancel out. So all I'm left with is a base success with two successes. Auric, buddy, pal, on a carbine that is going to be 11 wounds. Oh. So subtract your soak. Don't forget to subtract your soak.
Right.
All right? That's seven. So seven wounds. So that's half your wound threshold.
Poofa right. Doofa. Certainly is.
Welcome to Star Wars. And that's...
See, guys, this is why I never got into it.
That's their turn, guys. I have the other two PCs up, and that would be Thorne and Besh. Now, according to your schematics, you're wanting to get to this turbo lift right up here, okay? And the alarm is still blaring. It's not loud, but it's still blaring. You can hear it in the distance.
Okay.
Dorn is going to come up to the door, lean out.
Sure.
And I would like to chuck one of my stun grenades down to this group.
Oh, nice. I love it. And they're within short range, so that's eminently reasonable. Okay. Build your pool. Your difficulty is going to be one purple die at short range.
Nice.
All right. I believe I have succeeded. I have three net successes and one net advantage.
That's fantastic. So we do three successes plus the base damage of the grenade.
Which is eight stun.
Eight, so that's 11.
11 stun.
Okay, that's going to take out two. Ooh. Okay. Awesome. Kaboom. So they're down. All right. And you have one advantage.
It's not enough to disorient.
So. No. You could pass another boost die to your friend Besh. Maybe he's emboldened by your actions through some narrative description you make. You could maybe give him a remaining setback die on his next check. As he's, you know, it's like sort of a pseudo disorientation.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think what happens is as the others short out, it messes with his optical
targeting systems.
Targeting systems. Yeah, and so he'll have a setback die.
So he's got temporary blindness. I'm going to give him a setback die. Yeah. All right, and Besh, you are now up.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, it was a maneuver to move up there.
Mm-hmm.
Maneuver to pull out your grenade.
So take a couple strains.
So you'll need two strain to pull off the action as well. Yes.
Besh kind of he narratively, I'm going to say that he pauses during his maneuver, but I would like to. He goes up to the door with everybody and pokes his head just beyond, and says, "Seems clear enough. I'll go call the elevator." And he run. I'm going to try to run across the hall to the turbo lift controls to try and get the turbo lift there.
All right, you can make it.
Okay,
you're within range of this guy. Okay, The turbo lift is locked down. It looks like it's going to require some slicing to access.
That would be computers?
Yeah, it would be computers or skullduggery.
Ooh, okay. Well, you know, I'm here, so I might as well take an action. Besh kind of looks, and it's very akin to that moment in Avengers when Cap says it appears to be powered by electricity. I'm just, well, here I am.
You're not wrong.
It appears to be powered by electricity. Yeah, I can say I'll take skullduggery, mechanics, or computers. Make mechanics to just to full on disable it and call the elevator. Computers to override it, skullduggery.
Well, skullduggery is a little bit better. Right. So
two purple is going to be your difficulty.
Okay. And I have the boost from Auric.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. All right. This seems like an important moment. Let's go ahead and flip one of those destiny points to upgrade.
Upgrade one of your greens to a yellow.
Really use that triumph to just have the turbo lift car be right here. Hey!
Yeah.
So that is not a success. That's a failure. with three advantage and a triumph. So you don't
call the elevator. Fail to call the elevator, but you got three advantage and a triumph.
Can you?
Good. Can I have accidentally messed with the alarm system to start sending like droids to another part of the facility?
For a triumph, I would totally let you do that.
Okay. So the voice on the intercom just kind of shorts out for a second.
Stop all reinforcements from coming to this location.
Okay. And nice. You just hear, we were in, you said sector 4?
Security sub-level 4.
4. So now it's like security sub-level 1. So whatever is not the hangar bay.
And maybe away from where we're headed. Yeah, yeah.
And with
totally accidental. Cool.
I think I did something. Still no elevator. Working on it. With the three advantage.
You set up a bonus for one of this who's competent with computers to
Get
the elevator.
For three advantage, I'll let you set up an upgrade.
An upgrade? Okay, so yeah, I've loosened the pickle jar a little bit. I've at least got the input here to bypass lockdown screen up. I just don't know where to go from here.
Okay.
So yeah, upgrade the next check on the
computer's check to access the terminal will be fully upgraded. One of the greens will get changed to a yellow.
Okay.
So okay, well that now we're at the top of round two. All right, we have two PCs up.
I'm computery, so I was gonna see if I could run to try and get us the elevator.
Okay.
So I'd like to cross to where Besh is.
That will take, honestly, one maneuver.
Okay. And then I will...
Two purple is your difficulty.
Plug in and try. Okay, so I already have two yellow in computers. Okay. So how does that...
So upgrade? An upgrade would add a green at that point.
Okay. And two purple?
Yes.
Cool.
Oh!
Triumph. Hey!
So one threat, I've succeeded. With, I guess that's two net successes.
Two net success.
And a triumph and a threat.
Okay, well, your threat, you're running by that droid.
Mm-hmm.
This is cheesy use of threat, but a good, sure. good illustrative example. You're running by that droid. He actually takes a swipe at you with the blaster. It barely misses you, but you're breathing heavy. You're going to suffer one strain.
All right.
Okay. And as a result of that, now you succeed. The elevator's on the way, and you have a triumph. What do you want to do with the triumph on this computer's check?
Can I... have also just moving fast. Can I have also obtained a security feed of the hangar that we're headed to so that I know what's up there waiting for us?
That's intriguing. Absolutely.
Okay.
You don't be able to analyze it right now. You're in a firefight, but yeah.
I've got it. It's
yeah.
It's,
I think you could maybe discover a remote access security feed.
Okay.
Maybe I'll tell you what, let's say it's a camera outside the elevator that you're heading up towards. So you can kind of look out.
Okay.
Yeah. Very well done. All right, that's one PC gone. I have another up before the bad guys go.
You're welcome.
All right. Question. Would it be one maneuver to stow my blaster and another to draw?
Yes, it would.
And I can't dual wield this because
no, your flamethrower is a two-handed weapon.
Takes two hands. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's what now, you can drop your blaster to the ground as an incidental. Okay. Or you can suffer two strain to just take a second maneuver and...
I know. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to...
That's okay.
You said strain reduces just when you have a moment, right?
Oh, like, yeah. You can recover strain. You can recover strain when you guys have a couple hours to rest. you'll recover all your strain.
Okay.
After this encounter is over, you guys can make a check to recover some strain as well.
Okay.
You guys have a 10-minute ride through a turbo lift to get to where you need to go.
And I do have an ability to allow you to recover strain also. So.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stow my blaster.
All right, you take a maneuver, pause, uh-huh. Stow your blaster.
And use another maneuver to
pull out your flame projector.
Yeah, because these two look engaged to me.
They are.
So I'm gonna try to blast them.
So Besh, you see him. He took a shot earlier. He puts it up. You see him pull from his back a freaking flame projector. Okay.
I say duck.
and yeah. you are aware, and they are aware. You guys are innately aware of the world. This type of equipment. This is. As illegal as it would be anywhere in the United States. Okay? It is that like you're walking around with a flamethrower.
Okay? I mean, we did just rob a place.
Yeah, so, totally. But just to impress upon you, you sure. Guys are going to get stopped if you're walking down the streets of the rim with blaster pistols. But this is going to freak people out. So, okay, your difficulty on this is actually just going to be one purple die. You know what? It's a flamethrower. So there's a pretty, very interesting chance of fun things going wrong. So I'm going to spend one of my destiny points mm-hmm. and you're going to turn that purple die into a red.
Well, guys, it was fun for a minute.
Good night, Ben. Hey.
Okay, so that's a net success with two successes, and these two cancel, correct?
They do. So you have a net success with two successes. So two plus your base damage?
That's going to be 10 total.
Yeah, that's going to draw both of them.
All right, great.
Nice.
Yeah, you flambéed them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well done.
I like to imagine that you just melted them sufficiently to seize all of their joints.
Like those fainting goats, they just topple over.
Yeah, I like to think that Besh isn't totally aware of like arms and things like that. So we're next to the turbo lift and I see Auric pull out this thing. I'm like, what's that? Oh my God!
Just through the hallway.
Yeah, and I wish it wouldn't be another maneuver just to look at you guys and pop it back on my back. And
Crash, standing like, right next to you, reaches out and punches you in the arm. That's a little close.
I said, you duck. Start screaming, and Dorne just says, working.
Well, this guy goes, Roger, Roger, no! He turns to the turbo lift and he is going to blast. He's going to blast Besh.
All right, I would like to suffer one strain to use my dodge ability to upgrade the difficulty of his check by one.
Exactly. I'll turn that purple into a red, and he's got one setback die from the earlier confusion that mm-hmm. was provided by the flash grenade, the stun grenade. He will succeed with one threat. There's going to be 10 wounds on you. Don't forget to soak.
Okay. Wow. That's seven.
Seven. And with the one threat, I think he's exposed himself rather heavily with a stupid decision to shoot somebody right there. And I'm going to say that the next attack against him is going to get an automatic boost die.
Okay. I want to shoot.
I believe it's your turn.
Well, he's right there and he is at short range from you.
Since he just shot at me, do you mind if I just try to shoot back real quick since he just shot? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
You don't have a weapon drawn.
Yeah, I'm going to use a maneuver to draw my weapon. And boost die.
And you'll get a boost die.
And one difficulty?
At this range, yes.
Yes. A net failure with one advantage. So
your blaster shot misses.
Besh takes a blaster bolt to the shoulder and just tries to look like an awesome hero and pulls out his blaster pistol and fires it. Shoots from the hip, flies right over his shoulder.
He dodges out of the way of your blaster bolt, maybe exposing his broadside to somebody else.
Yeah, he's very focused on how bad of a shot that was from Besh that he's exposing himself
he's
to.
He's doubled over laughing.
Yes.
So you will also get a boost die your second. And one purple. You're at short range. Yes, you're at short range. Oh, do you want to spend a maneuver to aim first?
Of course.
Roll an extra boost die then. Don't forget about your aiming.
Ooh. Okay, let me see if I can figure this out.
Wow.
That's a good roll.
That's a very good roll.
Those are advantages.
They are, and yes. You have one threat.
That cancels
out a threat, so that cancels out an advantage.
That's yes. Correct.
So I have three successes and two advantage.
Wowzers. Wowzer. So three success plus your base damage, and you're at short range, which means your point blank talent is going to come into play. All right. So, which gives you plus two damage.
Yes.
And so the base damage on your pistol is 7.
So that's 9.
10, 11.
12. Why is it? Well, now explain.
So 7, 8, 9.
10, 11, 12. Okay.
Yeah. So you did 12 points of damage with one blaster shot.
Good night, droid.
I would like you all to look at your wound thresholds and remind you again how lethal Star Wars is. Okay. All right. And the droid is gone. You've got two advantage. Honestly, we're kind of at the end of this particular encounter. Unless there's anything narrative you want to do with it from a cool standpoint.
Yeah, I mean,
if you have
any strain or anything to recover, and the advantage has to apply to that particular situation.
Typically speaking.
Yeah. Okay. Just say that.
I mean, not always.
When Kresh shot her blaster and tore that thing apart, she just kind of spins it and twirls it a little bit and jams it back in her holster. That's how it's done, boys.
I'll tell you what. Can I make a suggestion for your two advantage?
Yes.
You shoot the thing, and its chassis, with that amount of damage, you hit its power cell, the chassis explodes, and bits of the droid come streaming across the floor, and right touching your boot, as you pull down a piece of its chassis, chest splitting, and this close, you can see a symbol on the chassis. All right? And it is this symbol right here, which looks like a very evil astrological sign, almost like a sun with spikes coming out of it. And I would take, and honestly, at this point, the elevator arrives. All right. Opens up.
Rides here.
You see the same logo on the inside of the elevator. All right. So at this point, you all should be able to see it. And I will take either knowledge underworld or knowledge outer rim. The difficulties will be different depending on what you're using. So tell me to identify what the symbol is.
I'll be using underworld.
All right. So if you're using underworld, difficulty is 2 purple. Outer rim, it's 3 purple. And all of you, and I'm not going to tell you why, are inherently going to get a boost die, one blue boost die to this check.
What was the difficulty?
If you're which check are you making?
I'm using Underworld.
That would be 2 purple dice.
You know what?
A lot of dice being
what was right Outer now. Rim?
I think I'm going to just let you guys.
What was
this.
Outer Rim?
3 purple.
Wow.
Oh, doggy.
So I'm assuming those cancel.
Okay, so I
agree to which you do not know.
Yeah, I failed with one net threat.
And you actually succeeded, Randy, right?
Those cancel.
Uh-huh.
And that's a threat.
Yes.
And a success.
And a success.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you succeeded. Do you want to roll, Philip?
I would like to not roll. I feel like there's a whole lot of threat that's just been rolled.
Yeah.
I'm going to, honestly, the threat will be narrative. It'll creep you out.
All right. I'll see what happens.
I got to remember, this is not just up and down. Like,
yeah.
I believe I have succeeded with some advantage. Yes, I have succeeded with 2 success and 1 net advantage.
That's fantastic. Okay, so first of all, the two of you, and it's up to you narratively if you guys want to relay this information to your compatriots, you recognize this symbol and it scares the living shit out of you.
Okay.
This is the symbol of Black Sun, which is a rumored organization that totally doesn't exist and is totally not the largest criminal syndicate in the galaxy with resources that rival any governmental power, controlling virtually all aspects of crime and underworld nefariousness in the Outer Rim and most of the galaxy. That organization certainly doesn't exist, and this certainly would not be their symbol and logo.
We certainly just not piss them off.
Now, with your advantage, here's what you also find. You said you had 1 net success?
I have 2 net success and 1 net advantage.
Okay. So, from your basic success, you guys know that Black Sun's operations are some of the largest in the galaxy. They engage in every illegal activity imaginable. Now, with the advantage you rolled and the extra success, you also know this, Philip. Supposedly, just kind of dredging your memory about the organization, it's kind of like the mafia. You have godfathers, right? Okay. Well, they have Vigos, right? Which is actually a bocce word that means uncle. Okay. they got nine uncles, and these nine Vigos are report directly apparently to the head of Black Sun, who's this fabled figure no one's ever met or seen. This person, and they're some of the most powerful people in the galaxy. They rule over massive territories or sectors of space, and with your advantage, it occurs to you, especially with the research you were looking at earlier about this facility and kind of looking at the schematics, like, you know what a Vigo oversees. You understand what their territory is, the amount of resources they have available. A facility of this magnitude, looking at the schematics, would certainly comprise a serious investment on behalf of the entire organization, probably not belonging to a single Vigo's resource.
Wow. The door opens and Dorn goes, "Frack me."
Now, Oryk. Oryk.
Besh looks at you and goes, "Why? It's just the Bankers Guild."
Oryk, you have the opportunity for a memory flash here.
Okay.
If you would like to take it, it will cost you 2 strain to do so, and you'll need to make a check. But if successful, you might get a snippet of your past.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to start building that. So let me mark my strain before I roll.
Did you say one character started with the memory?
Yeah, we'll get to it. Okay. At the appropriate point in the adventure, when you see something interesting, it's like television amnesia. When you see something interesting, it triggers
all right.
What? Okay, so you, sir, need to give me a simple, there's no difficulty on this.
All right.
Either discipline or resilience check, your choice.
Resilience.
All right, give me a resilience check. Just roll at least one success and you're golden.
I did it.
Okay, upon seeing the Black Sun symbol, Oryk, your head begins to throb and a scrap of memory forces itself into focus. You're seated at a dingy cantina table across from a human who carries himself with a very formal demeanor. You feel emotion. You feel an overwhelming sense of trust and obligation to this person. Okay. And you recall yourself nodding soberly as he hands you a small data pad, the contents of which you can't recall, but you do remember the symbol showing on the screen attached to a series of files. This symbol, the symbol of Black Sun. You remember your heart racing when you see it. Another man gives you a faint smile at seeing your reaction. Suddenly, the music in the cantina intensifies and loud cheers of various alien languages accompany it, drowning out what the man says to you. Yet, you shake his hand, you pocket the data pad, and you stand up to leave, fingering the worn holo projector in your pocket. There's your memory flash.
Can I look at the data pad that I at some point there?
Oh, what he handed you is not what you have now.
That's okay.
Yeah, no. Okay. It's a totally different data pad.
All right. Are we at a point where we can start? I would like to kind of look at Kresh, give a nod. Well, that's what I was going to give a nod to have her head to the thing and then follow.
Yeah.
In guard.
Is this a point where we can roll to recover strain?
At this point, going up the elevator, yeah. And the way I run it, you guys can take the opportunity to stim yourselves if you've taken damage.
Yeah, done.
And one stim will heal 5 wounds, second will heal 4, so on and so forth. I'll let you roll either the way I run it, I prefer to run it as cool or discipline. It's your choice. And it's a simple check.
Okay.
And the number of successes you roll is the number of strain you recover. Advantage don't come into play.
Well, Besh is a cool guy.
So if you've taken any strain.
Yep, I get 2 back.
2 back.
That was a free memory.
You've taken 11 strain?
Oh, I'm counting down.
Okay.
You need to do the other direction.
Don't you? Well, it doesn't matter as long as you know what's up.
Yeah. I'm counting down
but
to 0.
But it looks like you're counting up on your wounds, though. So.
No, I had taken 7 and I just got 5 back.
Oh, so you okay? Then you're good.
Yeah, when these get to 0, I'm going to.
Then you're good.
That's,
okay.
I'm playing at like hit points.
Whatever works for you. That'll work.
I took 17 maneuvers throughout that last battle.
I was like, oh my God. Okay, so. As the lift moves quickly up several levels of the facility, its exterior viewport opens onto the blackness of space, and you quickly realize that you are on board a space station or a very large ship. The facility is clearly orbiting what looks like a heavily industrialized planet, and the planet seems familiar to you. And I would take either a 2 purple outer rim or underworld knowledge check or a 3 purple astrogation check. To attempt to identify what the world is.
Might sit this one out.
And again, you guys aren't going to suffer threat as a result of this. So. Basic check.
Well, That's a success with three successes and three threat.
Okay.
One threat.
Doesn't look familiar to you.
All right, if you've got a success, I'm not going to add threat to that.
Three success, two threat.
So
yeah, you can tell me.
Yeah, the planet is not a planet at all. That's a moon. And it is, you both recognize it immediately as the moon of Nar Shaddaa, which is a hut world and a den of organized crime.
Some pizza.
Yeah, so this facility is orbiting the most wretched hive of scum and villainy in the galaxy.
Excellent.
And you relay that information?
Yeah, do you guys tell them? Did you guys tell them about Black Sun?
I don't think Dorne has. Nah, Dorne is absorbing that.
Because you guys have a 10-minute turbo lift right up. And you're healing it. If you guys want to share information, it's totally up to you. You two recognize that is Nar Shaddaa. You two recognize, oh my God, this is a Black Sun space station.
I'm just a dummy with a flamethrower.
I think seeing it, Dorne probably, Nar Shaddaa.
And you guys should be like,
okay. I think I would ask about the symbol. If anybody recognizes it, especially given that the flashback that I had upon seeing it, not recognizing it, I would say, hey, does anybody know?
Yeah, Black Sun.
Oh.
You know, the organization that doesn't exist. Apparently, here it is.
I mean, for an organization that doesn't exist, they've got a real branding issue.
Dorne is trying to pull up that feed as we're going up.
Sure. Honestly.
Because now she's very thoroughly expecting something terrible at the top of the lift.
Okay. You've got this... honestly, the turbo lift is going to exit right here. So for listeners that are listening, what Philip can see on his feed is what looks like a pretty standard hangar bay. There are workers milling to and fro, wearing jumpsuits, work uniforms. You see cargo crates and technical parts stacked everywhere. And as the camera kind of pans, you can see that there's several bridges leading into what look like conference rooms and other areas. And then in the distance towards the west, you can see off in this westerly direction at probably long range from the turbo lift are what appear to be shuttles, what almost looks like a fighter bay that's blocked by ray shielding. Okay. And people kind of milling to and fro. Nobody seems to be agitated, alerted, or anything like that.
All right. At the moment, it appears that in the hangar, the coast is clear.
Quick question. Black Sun, being kind of a wide-reaching crime syndicate, it's not going to be like the Empire where there's strict uniforms and things like that. Like, we could potentially blend in with the Black Sun riffraff. Maybe?
The droids were branded, and the technicians you see walking around wearing identical jumpsuits.
Well, and I see, using the camera feed, do I see like a locker room?
I don't know. Do you see a locker room?
I think I see a locker room.
I think you might see a locker room. All right. So
that's maybe reasonably close to the turbo.
So honestly, this is not a power regulation center. In fact, directly across from the turbo lift is what looks like, a locker room. In fact, you see some guys kind of running to and fro, kind of going in there when they're getting off shift and coming on. And yeah, there's definitely some uniforms hanging up in there.
We need to cross directly from the lift into the room across from it.
Suddenly, you hear a crackling speaker overhead, and that familiar tinny pre-recorded voice comes over the comm with its cheerful disposition, apparently broadcasting across the entire facility. This is a level 7 warning. Security monitoring protocols have detected a bomb aboard the station. Technical personnel are working hard to ensure your safety, but please follow standard evacuation procedures at this time. Thank you for your cooperation. Have a sunny day. You stare at each other with wide eyes and begin hastily stabbing the elevator controls with your fingers. At this point, people flip out. You're watching security monitor people, you know, it's like the ending scene from Spaceballs. People are running to and fro. Yeah.
Is a bomb like a fire? Do we have to get on the stairs? Or can we? I think I have to take the turbo lift down.
And Dorne probably says, well, that's helpful.
Yeah. And you think about that empty box of detonator fuses in your rucksack.
Yeah.
And remind me, where was your first trip when you got on board? Timetable?
Oh, the main reactor.
Power, the reactor.
I you know what?
Take out the power.
I don't say anything. I just reach into the rucksack. I pull out the box and I pop the lid so they can all see. And then I put it back in.
Huh. I don't suppose you have a detonator to control it. Or any idea how long the timer was?
I mean, I think you know the answer to that.
Well, I keep hoping.
I get it.
All right. Well, the hangar bay is right where your mission briefing said it would be. and you've been watching it. And again, as the doors open, you see dozens of frightened station personnel shouting, racing to transports, most of which have already fired up and taken off.
Okay.
Now, in the distance, at long range from your current position, this being long range, okay, from your current position, you see ray-shielded docking ports opening into the blackness of space, and behind a set of energy shields, a squadron of unmanned snub fighters. They look like two-man ships, okay? Flight tech cargo crates are stacked and scattered everywhere. Warning lights are flashing, and every 2 minutes, that same damn tinny pre-recorded voice comes over the comm telling everyone to evacuate now. It sounds ridiculous, but you could swear each time you hear it, the voice's cheerful demeanor seems to get more and more concerned.
So everyone's panicking, so there's not really any reason for us to play dress up.
I think we book it. Yeah. Just run.
Yeah, beat.
So you guys don't want to try and stealth it?
I mean, I don't think there's any harm in trying to stealth it, but I don't think we need to worry about going across.
It's your call. You guys can do whatever you want.
We don't know how long we got before.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, guys. I don't know if I'm very good at making bombs. this thing might not go off at all.
It's probably best we assume you are.
Oh, yes. Sure.
Otherwise, we would not be here. They're all panicky. They're all in a tizzy. If we could just try to fit in and book it.
I think if there's enough panic, I say we take the time to grab just jackets, just like the branded jackets, and throw them on and go.
I think that's fine.
Because then, you know, in the panic, maybe no one pays attention.
But I got this cool leather jacket on. Am I supposed to wear two jackets?
If you like.
That's going to look ridiculous.
Yes, well, mine's significantly nicer than yours, and I intend to put one on over it.
Okay.
She's a big fan of his Jersey accent.
Huge fan of the Jersey accent. So to set the scene, you guys are out of the turbo lift right here. Mm-hmm. Without anyone spotting you, you can easily sneak in here and throw on technician jumpsuits over your existing gear if you want. They're nice and baggy, okay? However, if you want to leave them hanging open so you can access your weapons, that's up to you. If you want to zip them up properly, let me know. Or if you want to have a weapon out, let me know.
Besh would zip his up properly because he would feel like people knowing that he's wearing two coats would look ridiculous, so he's going to zip up the other one.
All right, it's going to require an extra maneuver to draw a weapon unless you can have one held out.
That's fine.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'm going to stay unzipped.
Unzipped. All right.
Unzipped.
Unzipped.
Can I?
Good. No.
Answer this.
Okay. God, it's hard for me not to stay zipped up, but with a weapon drawn. So yeah, I think that's what Auric would do.
It's totally your call.
I think Auric would zip up, but he would have a weapon in his hand and kind of one of those things where depending on where people are, he switches it from hand, you know, keep the football on the wrong side of the defender kind of thing.
So blaster pistol or your...
Oh, blaster, definitely blaster pistol. Okay.
All right.
Now unzipped, we have access, quicker access to our weapon.
It'll cost you the same maneuver it normally does to pull a weapon.
Okay.
Can I find, is there an access point? Basically what I'd like to try to do is can I trigger like the fire suppression system here and just like fog the place up with...
You'll need to hack into a terminal.
Okay. I see where one was when I was looking around here?
Honestly, there's a small terminal for the turbo lift that's located right next to it. Maybe it has access to the main computer. It would probably be restricted access, making it a very difficult task. Now, if you pause and take a look around, first of all, you can see that, you know, open doors, right here. And you can see coming in through this way is what appears to be an actual main computer terminal,
okay,
a tactical center. In fact, there's somebody working it. Despite the fact that everyone's trying to escape, this person is actually at the tactical center issuing commands, doing things. And this person is dressed in commando armor. Okay, it is silver laminate, okay, with black highlights. There is a black sun logo emblazoned on the pauldron. Okay, nasty helmet, all right, fully covering everything, and he's working away prolifically. Okay, that appears to be, so there are minor terminals everywhere else, you can kind of see them on the map, but this would be a direct line, no doubt, to the main computer.
Okay.
At this point, heading this way, ray shields are up.
We're unable to get past those ray shields without deactivating.
Now, additionally, you also hear very quickly some voices. You hear some voices coming from further away. Now, in the opposite direction, about medium range from you, you can see what looks like some type of conference center. And stepping out of it are three more of those particular guards that are dressed exactly the same way, and their orders are being shouted to them by a Duros, which is, for those of you not familiar with Star Wars lore, it's an alien species. They kind of look almost like the Greys. Like, they have these big bulbousy heads, but kind of greenish skin and big red round eyes. And he is wearing what looks like a fly suit. that suit is probably $3,000 at least. Okay, expertly tailored, and he is shouting orders to these guys, and their knees are practically shaking.
Can we tell what the orders are?
You just basic, you know.
Okay.
You know, get to the transports. Make sure cargo 8721 is loaded properly. Do this, do that. You know, where is my ship?
Now, second question: is this really a munitions depot?
What you see on that map is what is there. So what you see is starship munitions. So you've got missiles, you've got all kinds of stuff. And that alarm for the, and again, every half minute, that please evacuate now, there is a bomb on board.
Just thinking distraction option.
Yeah. I have a thought. What if we grabbed some cargo and acted like we were trying to load up an evacuation vehicle and get those ray shields down through talking?
Do you think they'll let us load cargo onto a snub fighter?
Well, maybe.
Is there cargo in the munitions depot that would go on a snub fighter? I mean, it has fighter in it. Obviously, it's got some sort of munitions.
Yeah, it's reasonable. I mean, you could be trying to load. I mean, you have no idea if the fighters have torpedo launchers or not, but there's torpedoes in that munitions bay right near you. It would take two of you to lift one of them.
Is there anything standard that we know would be on that snub fighter, that like a box of 9mm?
Can I know?
Just random technical parts. Yeah, honestly, your character would know. There's all kinds of stuff in here that you might want to look at.
You think you can talk your way through?
I'll give it the old college try.
Let's make talking the last resort. Let's just start running with things toward the snub fighters and see if they drop.
But they got ray shields.
See if they drop shields. If we look like we're doing it because we're supposed to,
go for it.
Okay, so we're gonna run in here. We're gonna grab a couple of boxes of stuff.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to holster my gun to make it happen. So
okay, so you got your holstered gun. Mm-hmm. You're all grabbing equipment. All right, mm-hmm. And which direction are you heading? You're heading this way?
I figure if we're just going to try to see if they'll see us coming and drop the ray shields, we go through the maintenance bay.
Yeah. Okay, so you want to hit through the maintenance bay and
we can motion like,
and hey, motion like, hey, hey, let us in. Well, as you're coming here, I need all four of you to give me, I'll give you a choice here. I need either a stealth check or a deception check.
Yes.
All right. Because you got people you need to either remain unsidden, remain hidden, or blend in. All right. Now your difficulty on this, guys, is going to be two purple and one red.
Oh, Jesus!
And just to make things interesting, let's change that up and make it one purple and two red. I'm going to spend the destiny point.
Oh my god!
So it should be one purple and two red.
I only got one red in my.
Like all the reds are in play, roll it twice then.
Okay.
And because of your jumpsuits, each of you gets a boost die on the check.
Oh god. That should help.
All right. Okay.
That's a lot of dice.
Boy.
All right, I'm gonna go around the table. Starting Aaron's
on cancellation. That's two failures and two threat. So those failure.
Anyone get a despair?
Mm-mm. Remarkably, no.
I succeeded.
Those are these despair?
No, those are failures.
Those are failures.
I succeeded with two net successes and one threat.
on deception.
Okay, you're sweating buckets. I'm going to say you suffer a strain.
Okay.
All right.
I succeeded on stealth with one net success and one net advantage.
Ooh. Ah, that's very good. We're going to come back to you on that advantage to see how you want to spend it. Okay.
I think I have a threat, right? And
did you succeed or fail?
I think I failed.
It looks like you failed too with
that's a lot of dice.
Two net threat.
With two net threat is what I think you got. Okay. So I'm actually going to hang on to those threat. They're going to translate to a setback die for you. So I want you to just keep that handy. Put it on top of your character sheet. And if you want to clean up your dice and put them back. And what about you, sir?
I succeeded. One net success, two net advantage.
Wow. Okay.
Nice. Good job, everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of us.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we had one failure. Mm-hmm. All right. And that was from Randy. Now, what's going to happen as you guys failed in this room gathering stuff is you're going to draw the attention of one of these guards. And Randy specifically, seeing a Twi'lek here, a Twi'lek female dressed in the engineer's suit is a bit odd. And so this guy is immediately going to come investigate. He's going to walk to you, and he's not really focused. You guys are kind of scattered about gathering stuff, okay? And he's gonna come up to the Twi'lek specifically, and you know, through the helmet, you know, hey, where's your credentials? Now you guys have some advantage to spend.
I was gonna suggest, and I don't know if my one is sufficient. I don't know what one is sufficient for, but I was gonna suggest that maybe I have the impression that Besh is talky. Can I spend my advantage to say that Besh, in his hurry, grabbed a senior tech's uniform?
That would be a bit much. Well, okay. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mechanically, I'd let you give him a boost.
Okay. That's
what I'm Which is what a senior tech
right.
uniform
yeah,
is.
That,
absolutely.
That
was, okay. Now, you also had some advantage, correct? Boosting.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to spend?
I haven't thought if you're open for input.
Huh? He's distracted by Kresh's beauty.
Well, that's not it. give me your thought, because I have an idea, but I don't know how it would translate.
Maybe the jacket that Kresh grabbed had some, no picture IDs, but like credential, like somebody left their credentials in the pocket of the jacket that Kresh grabbed.
Yeah, like I was even thinking like orientation paperwork. Like, so this would be why you don't recognize her either.
Just says new team member.
Even just one of those.
Doesn't have a badge yet.
It's like her W-9. She hadn't filled it out yet. It's just in her pocket.
One of those buttons at a grocery store.
How much advantage?
Two.
Two? To me, that's a bit more of a three advantage thing.
That's fair.
I would let the two of you combine your advantage.
I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So put your boost die away.
All right. And that will still translate to a mechanical benefit mm-hmm. as it comes. But yeah, so you look down and you can see literally, you know, like transfer papers, like in your pocket right there.
Kresh pulls out her papers. And here you go.
All right. I'm going to flip a destiny point.
Uh-huh.
And one of mine, excuse me. So I've only got one left now. The guard looks at the papers and he says, Lieutenant John Stevens.
It's pronounced John.
Besh would like to step in with his deception skill and try to just interject and be like, hey, you know, this is one hell of a way to spend a first day, so if you can give her a break.
Leave John alone. It's her first day.
Have you ever been to Ryloth? John is a very common female name on that planet, okay? And
things are a little crazy right now.
All right, you're good, John. Get back to work.
Build a deception pool for me.
Okay, and
now this is going to be an opposed difficulty.
Okay.
That is going to be two purple and a red. Okay. Now with the three advantage you had earlier. Okay. I'm going to. How do you want to spend? I'm going to transfer that all advantage to you. How do you want to apply to the check? Do you want to do an upgrade? Do you want to add a boost?
I would love to upgrade.
Okay. I'll let you upgrade. All right. I'll let you upgrade. Now, interesting enough, this is a wild like. Okay, so two setback dice for the ridiculous nature of this lie.
That seems fair.
And I don't know if you have any talents that might mitigate that.
Oh, yes,
all.
I do. Thank you.
A wink, wink, and a nudge.
Plausible deniability. I get to remove up to one setback die from a deception check.
So that leaves it down to one
setback.
Die. And you have a boatload of destiny points as well.
Yeah, let's go ahead and upgrade the check with a destiny point. Just this guy has never been to Ryloth, in fact, so he is not aware of their customs.
All right.
Hey!
Oh wow!
So
that looks positive.
We just won.
They cancel.
You won Star Wars.
That cancels.
So I succeeded with one next success, one threat, and a triumph.
All right, so you succeeded. You're going to suffer another strain for that threat because you are sweating buckets with this bold lie.
My voice
big
is just
giant armpits.
He is sweating. It's a very stressful day. Okay,
jackets.
So
his nice leather jacket. He sweated through a leather jacket.
Now you have a triumph.
Triumph. I'm going to say that I would love for the guy that's operating the controls.
Yeah, in the tactical sense, the guy who's got to open the radio.
Like,
yeah.
I was raising my voice at this guy, trying to tell him to back up, that he can overhear this conversation in between the alarm and everything. And he has been to Ryloth, and in fact knows that John is a common female name for Twi'leks from Ryloth.
It's pronounced Joan.
Joan, in fact. And so making any attempts to get the ray shields down upgraded or at least a boost, or I mean, well,
there's a dancer named Joan in the cantina here.
I think
he loves
dude,
her.
No, it's a triumph.
Okay.
And triumph is an encounter-changing event, okay. Right? It can change the course of an entire game. Right?
Okay.
So honestly, I love your narrative. I absolutely love it. I can imagine this guy overhearing this gets on his comm, and you hear coming across the comm, "Hey, Steve, leave her alone, man. The station's about to explode. What are you doing?"
See, I wanted to have Auric turn around and just go, "Stevens, get moving." All right. Assuming he overheard John, Stevens.
Stevens, get moving. All right. And the guy's like, "Okay, sorry. All right. He turns around and hightails it back to the commander that was issuing him orders. The that commanding dude in the very expensive suit, the Duros, he kind of looks your direction a little confusedly. You're kind of at a medium distance from him. He's kind of trying to see. And people are running everywhere. Mm-hmm. All right. But you guys, okay, so at this point, you've thrown him off. You've got yourself loaded up with equipment. What now?
I'm trying to look frantic, but we're dealing with like starfighter right. gear, and so it's not really.
So is
frantic,
your intent is to head take the gear into the
especially now that yes. this guy's on trust yeah. us.
And with the triumph you rolled previously, and this guy right here now believing your story, he's gonna see you coming again, full encounter changing event. He's gonna be like, "Oh yeah. He's gonna lower the ray shields immediately.
Mm-hmm. Right? Awesome.
One of the reasons I love this game is that you guys just bypassed an entire car.
I also love that.
All right, so you guys get in here, and as you're moving in here, let's see. The crackling comm blares to life again, but this time, instead of the cheerful computerized voice broadcasting warnings, you hear a very fast breathing and high-pitched human voice stuttering.
Hello? We have been unable to deactivate the explosive device on the main power reactor. This is not a drill. You really might want to get to a transport. Like right now."
You hear what sounds like a microphone hitting the floor and fast footsteps racing away from it.
How many people can fit in one of these fighters?
They are two-man fighters.
Can anyone besides me fly?
I've got three green.
That is true.
You can fly.
I have three agility, so I'm capable, but not good.
It's like
pilot space is what we want to look at, right?
Yeah, but keep in mind, I'm only going to call for a piloting space check. It's like, put it this way. All of you can drive. You all possess driver's license. You all have the capability to drive. None of you are NASCAR drivers. Okay. That is when I would, when you're trying to do driving.
You don't know me.
I don't know you. Maybe you are.
When you're trying to make a left-hand turn, then it'll call for a check.
Is it a particular skill?
Yeah. It's called piloting space.
I've got.
Oh.
You have a lot of it.
I would like, is there a control panel for the ratios?
I'm pretty good. I can fly.
Inside here?
No, not that you can see.
Okay. Gonna try to shoot it to reactivate the ray shields because I think that's how it works in Star Wars. Okay, well.
I mean, if you want to spend the destiny point, sure. But
I mean, we would do a quick, we don't know this, so we would say, do you guys know if you can fly?
Oh, I know I can fly.
Yes. Right. You guys, like, you guys just looked at this and you felt calm. Whereas I looked at this and I was like, buttons.
I'm gonna flip a destiny point to have a command switch in here to where we can reactivate the ray shield so nobody can access the two fighters that we're leaving behind.
And you want to shoot it out?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to play this out. We flip a destiny point.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a control panel right in there. You turn around, blast the ray shield, okay, at the controls. The ray shield flies back up, all right? And at that point, that's a bad thing. Okay, and at this point, this guy comes running in here. Hey, what are you doing?
It's at this point, weapons malfunction. Everything's fine.
These guys come running in here, and this Duros finally threw the ray shield and clearly sees you all, and just
why did you do that?
They snarl. Well, they can't get to you at this point.
But we're supposed to be leaving. No one would have thought anything weird about us just leaving.
But now they can't escape. Was my thinking. Well,
there's other transports.
Well, I didn't think it through.
Get in the ships.
You don't think that the guy in the expensive suit...
Can we have this conversation in the air?
Can you rig this pile of crap to explode?
Well, the Duros sneers. The Duros sneers at you all. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you hear him shout, "What's he still doing alive? That wasn't the agreement. I see now where your loyalties lie. No one betrays Black Sun. No one."
Well,
who's he looking at?
Who is he looking at?
Well, this isn't me.
General direction.
So he. So
yeah, it's probably me. Here,
gentlemen.
Here's what I was saying.
We'd like to mount up.
Well, at this point, the station's about to explode.
Yeah.
Or let's go.
So let's just jump in. I'll jump in with. Well, you two probably ride together.
You guys turn around, and Dorne is already in a ship.
All right. So who's riding with Dorne?
I'm gonna jump in with Dorne.
Okay.
All right. So Auric and Dorne are together. Okay. And that leaves Besh and Kresh.
You get in and Dorne says, "Don't touch anything."
Right. No, I get in and I say, "Well, silver lining. Looks like I'm good at bombs."
You have the opportunity for a memory flash.
Ooh, I want.
All right, it will cost you 2 strain and a simple either discipline or resilience check.
Oh, discipline is better, so I will do discipline. I have a triumph. I don't know if that's relevant here, but I have a triumph and 2 successes total.
I'll see if I can modify this a bit for your triumph, okay?
Okay.
Oh, how about this? No strain cost.
Ooh, done.
Will that work for you?
Yeah, that sold.
Okay. So punching the activation sequence into the ship's console, Dorne, your vision darkens for a moment and a scrap of memory floods into your mind. You're standing at a keypad, mounted on the door of some kind of very large shipping container. You've just punched in a locking code and you've checked your glove to make sure the code written there matches. You can hear fast ships moving all around you and you feel the open breeze. But as you glance aside, you only see more and more cargo containers in a dizzying maze. You spy a human you recognize, Besh, and he smiles at you and nods. A momentary pang of unexplained guilt and confusion washes over you, and you feel yourself forcing back a smile.
Huh.
I think I know who's supposed to be dead, but...
Well, that was part 1 of the Eberron Renewed Crew Forgotten Saga. Keep tuning in. We will be releasing new episodes of this special live play series weekly. We're going to likely have 6 or 7 total live play episodes of this. I really want to thank the Eberron Renewed crew of Eric, Randy, Philip, and Jeff for one of the more memorable gaming events I've ever been a part of, and for Eric's incredibly hard work editing this monstrosity of a session. That's all, folks. We'll see you next time. This is GM Chris wishing you peace, love, and good gaming.
You've been listening to the Order 66 podcast, brought to you by Ethan Kinsey, GM Scott, Jeremy Bensley, Bert Ingley, Joshua Taylor, and Wayne File. This podcast and related websites are not affiliated with Fantasy Flight Games, 20th Century Fox, Walt Disney Corporation, or Lucasfilm Limited, and its content is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only. All original content is the intellectual property of the Order 66 podcast and Gamer Nation, LLC.